Wondering if you should stay in Illinois or move out of state? Get your copy of Scott Tucker's book, Escape Illinois, Should I Stay or Should I Go? Get your complimentary copy at retirementdakota.com.
Investment advisory services are made available through AE Wealth Management, LLC, a registered investment advisor.
I really need to start paying attention to the show.
After all, your name is on the show.
That's what they say. That's what I've heard. Good morning and welcome in, everyone. It is Sunday, April the 7th. I feel like I should start numbering the shows. You know how a lot of the hosts go,
oh, yeah.
Hey, this is show number.
Steve Cochran does it.
Does he?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I know a lot of the hosts do, but I've lost track now.
After what, nearly 25 years?
It's been a pretty long time.
Has it been 25 years yet?
Because
if not, when that arrives, we have to have a party.
Well, let's see.
There is our excuse for doing the show at the Maxwell Street Market.
I would like to do the show in Greektown and reenact.
We could do that.
One special evening that we had there many years ago.
Here we go.
It was a special evening.
That restaurant is no longer there.
A bunch of friends in Shawnee. And the only evidence of that evening of the wrongdoing that took place that night is in my safe deposit box.
It's sealed.
Oh, Andy, if I ever told you what happened that night.
I think the restaurant closed not long after that. If we were there that evening,
yeah, right? it was the old Diana's restaurant.
Yes, it was Diana's.
Diana's restaurant on Halsted, one of the first Greek restaurants on. You know what? I think it actually may have been the first Greek restaurant on Halsted
before Street. Athena.
I believe so.
Wow,
I think so. It's one of the top. Too, for sure, that much I know. But anyway, it was a long time standard in Greektown. And that guy Petros, remember the?
Of course, he was. How could you forget Petros?
He was the owner, and he kissed all the women. He was like the Joe Biden of Greektown. You come in, and he smelled my hair a couple of times. I don't know what that was about. It's when I had hair.
I was going to say,
yeah.
Hair,
right? But he would kiss all the girls. He was famous for kissing all the girls, and you could do anything in his restaurant, whatever debauchery you wanted to do in his restaurant. He encouraged, crazy, kind of like Zorba the Greek-like behavior, and we fully took advantage of it that night.
Yes, he did.
Yes, we did. Yes, we
and
did.
And as I recall, there was quite the crowd there that night.
Yes, there was.
It was very busy in there.
It was hard for me to get pictures of
it. We had our own table, I might add.
We had a very large group of people, and there may or may not have been quite a bit of ouzo and Greek wine.
Mm. I still have a bottle.
Involved in the... in said incident. Yeah.
Said incident. I think it says that on the police report.
Right.
Said incident.
Right. This is years before Kim Fox, but we've had the file sealed, so nobody will ever know what happened that night unless someone gets their hands on my pictures that I have under lock and key.
You would never let that happen.
I would never let that happen.
No.
No, I would never let that happen.
No.
Oh, because I promised you that. Wouldn't do it. But it's good. It's good. It's all I'll say. I had a fun night last night. I was at the Park West for the annual Laugh Your Face Off comedy benefit that Pat Tomasulo puts on. Pat Tomasulo from WGN-TV Morning News. His wife has an affliction, which is called trigeminal neuralgia, which is constant and chronic facial pain. Can you imagine this? That your face is in pain all of the time. And they were showing videos of doctors and researchers, talking about all of this. And they say that this is more severe than most any other pain that you will ever experience. And these people who have trigeminal neuralgia go through it all the time. And Pat's wife, Amy suffers from this stoically and courageously. You would never know that she does, but she is in this constant pain all the time. And for the past 5 years, Pat's put on this benefit of a lineup of comedians, and they raise a ton of money for trigeminal neuralgia research. Really, it was a really fun night. You know, Pat does stand-up comedy, and he was hilarious, and just a whole lineup of Chicago comedians, including, get this, Andy, you'll love this, Ryan Dempster got up and did stand-up comedy.
He is funny, by the way.
Cubs pitcher, former Cubs pitcher Ryan Dempster, gets up and he does like 10 minutes of stand-up comedy.
He used to do that in the clubhouse.
Is that right?
Pretty much. I mean, he was very entertaining to deal with and to talk to, because he always had something to give you, and a lot of times it was very comedic.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's what, you know, everybody else was doing, you know, setups and jokes. He was just telling stories. Telling stories of what went on in the clubhouse and different scenarios and different situations, and it was a very entertaining and quite a surprise, but a really great night. I didn't catch what the final total was that they raised last night, but it was a hugely successful evening, really fun night. And here's my only thing that I didn't care for that much. You know, at one point I may have had a couple of beverages during the evening's festivities. So, you know, I had to go to the men's room. And you go there, and there's a bathroom attendant. Am I the only one that hates bathroom attendants?
It's just awkward, isn't it?
It's awkward. It's awkward. You finish up, and, you know, I go wash my hands. The guy's standing there and handing me paper towels.
Uh-huh. It's like, I think I can get that.
Yeah. He goes, would you care for a mint, sir? He's got a table full of mints and like that. And it's like, well, okay, now I got to give him some money. So I'm not a fan.
Yeah, it's a weird situation. And usually you'll get it in a bar, you know, when there's a game going on or something, a big event. And they'll have a guy down there in the men's room. And, yeah, they're handing you towels. They have cologne.
Right.
They have gum. They have everything.
I don't know anybody who likes that. I don't know one person that's that goes, boy, I can't wait to go to the men's room. And I hope that there's somebody in there awkwardly standing there while I'm using the men's room.
Not good.
I can't think of anybody who likes that. So, if the new mayor is listening, if we could make that illegal in Chicago, that would be fantastic. And how about the person whose job that is, by the way?
Yeah,
I wouldn't want to have that job, or you have to sit in the toilet all night.
Well, and the other thing too is you're having a conversation in the men's room. I mean, it's not like the place you want to have this conversation with a guy that's trying to make small talk.
I am very anti-conversation in the men's room.
Yeah, it's not a good thing.
Yeah. Schwani just put his headphones back on. He was chatting with somebody, obviously more
Rick
important.
Was in the,
much
Rick
more
was
important
in the
than the show. So,
what's this about chatting in the men's room?
I was saying when I was at the Park West last night that there's an attendant in the men's room.
Okay.
And I think that Mayor Lightfoot, as one of her first acts, should make bathroom attendance illegal.
You go to Europe in places, there are women attendants in the men's room.
Really?
Oh, yes.
Oh, I've never had that happen.
I've had that happen in Italy. I've had it happen in Germany.
Are you sure they were attendants?
Yes.
You sure there wasn't something else going on
No.
there?
No, there wasn't. There wasn't.
Hello, big American man. Hello, Mr. Schwani, big American man. I hear you like Batman.
Just call me the Caped Crusader.
Yeah, so I was just saying that, you know, it's just weird. It's weird and awkward, and I mean, you know, I guess everyone's got to make a living.
You don't see that much anymore.
You don't see it as much anymore. That's why it was kind of and kind of surprising at a venue like that.
At Park West, you mean?
Yeah, I was at the Park West. I've been to restaurants, you know, like fancy restaurants, and I guess the thinking is, you know, it's a super fancy restaurant, so the super fancy amenities should be going on. but not. I've certainly never seen it in a concert venue before. If it's happened at the Park West before, I don't ever remember that.
Yeah, no, I know. I've experienced it in, you know, as you say, the, you know, fancy restaurants, fancy hotels that will, you know, they'll have an attendant there, but I have not seen that in Chicago in a very long time. So
yeah, I would like it to be outlawed if possible.
So the other awkward thing
that should be the first thing on the new mayor's
agenda. Get rid of bathroom attendants agenda. Sorry, bathroom attendants, we'll find you a nice highly paid position in the mayor's cabinet to, you know, to make up for your job loss. There can't be that many of them. It can't be that hard to find jobs. But I don't think it's anything that anybody wants. I don't think anyone wants any extra human interaction in the men's room.
Yeah. Yeah, the other awkward thing is when you want to tip the guy a dollar, say whatever, and you only have a five in your pocket.
Right.
You put the five in the bowl, and then you start taking out the four, and he looks at you like, what are you doing?
Yeah, right.
Well, I'm not giving you $5 for handing me a towel.
The taking whole my change. Thing is awkward.
Yeah.
Just the whole thing is awkward. Somebody texted in that there's an attendant at the Cubby Bear.
At the Cubby Bear?
Well, you know, a lot of those bars at Wrigleyville do that because the crowds are so big, they figure these guys are going to make, you know, they're going to make their money there, because you go to the bathroom and you feel obligated to, you know, to tip the guy like
well,
a
Well, that's
or whatever.
The thing. It's and it's a little bit blackmail-y.
You know, it feels like you're walking into a trap, yeah.
Isn't it? Because, you know, I think probably most people are capable of going in, doing their business, mm-hmm. hopefully washing their hands, and reaching for a paper towel on their own. I know it's very challenging for a lot of people.
That Seinfeld episode just came to mind.
To really get yourself some paper towels on your own and wash and dry your hands and leave. But you feel so obligated. It's an awkward social thing that I personally don't want in there.
Yeah.
And then, as Andy says, you know, it's very awkward. But like, well, I, you know, you just handed me a piece of paper towel. I guess I have to pay you now.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you only have, you know, five or above, then it becomes even more awkward.
Yeah, it becomes an issue where you say, yeah, I'll get you next time.
Right.
Yeah, right. Put it on my tab.
Right.
Uh-huh. Put it on my bill.
Unless you want to take $5 worth of butterscotch hard candy.
Yeah, or cologne or gum. Cologne. Whatever.
Yeah. Here's five. I'm going to take the brute.
Yeah. I'll take the axe. Thanks very much.
Yeah.
Axe body spray. Thank you.
630 area code Reba's on Navy Pier has attendance. Yeah, I guess I haven't been to Reba's for a while. But let me see.
The restaurant on Navy Pier.
Oh, here's somebody. The 815 area code says, I just don't pay. I just don't do it.
Yeah, there are quite a few people that do that. You know, it's
yeah, you feel
it's
bad.
It's your prerogative because obviously you don't have to tip. It is awkward.
Yeah, the guy. You know, and usually they're very very nice. You know, but.
Yeah, the only thing you can hope for is that there's a lot of people in there when you get the hand of the towel, and then you can sneak out.
Right, in the crowd.
Exactly.
Right, sneak out in the crowd. Somebody says that they bring napkins into the bathroom with them when they go. So they don't.
Oh, there's an idea.
Oh, man.
Wow.
Go to great lengths.
It's it's an interesting thing. So anyway, Mayor-elect Lightfoot, if you're listening, if you could get started, I know you don't take office till May, whatever it is, early May, right?
Early May.
If you could get right on that, we'd appreciate that very much. It's 9:26. Let's get going here. We've got the far-flung forecast coming up next, WGN.
And our far-flung forecast takes us to Washburn, North Dakota.
Washburn,
North Dakota.
Washburn. You have to say burn. Washburn.
Washburn.
Washburn,
North Dakota. Where would I find Washburn
on the map? You would find Washburn not far from Bismarck, North Dakota.
Oh, I love a Bismarck.
The state capital. It's also close to a town called Mandan, North Dakota.
Excuse me?
Mandan? Yes, it's named for the Native American tribe that lived there for, I don't know, 1,000 years or so.
Okay.
That whole area there, very much a Native American population. The population of Washburn right now, 1,246. It was founded in 1882. Mm-hmm. However,
yes,
we mention Washburn today because not far from the city, there were two guys named Lewis and Clark with a group of friends that set up camp there for the winter of 1804 and 1805, and it was on this date.
Will that be 1804 and 1805?
1804 and 1805. Okay. You are correct,
sir. All right.
But it was on this date in 1805 mm-hmm. that the Corps of Discovery, Lewis and Clark, started out west. They had camped there at Washburn for the whole winter of 1804 and 1805, but it was on this date that they left to continue their journey west. And as Meriwether Lewis wrote in his journal that day, he proclaimed this day as among the most happy of my life.
Hmm.
Now, they thought they would be on the west coast a lot quicker than they got there, but it's an incredible story. You know, it took them another year to finally reach the Pacific Ocean, and then another year and a half to get back to the Midwest and finally meet up with President Thomas Jefferson in 1806.
Huh.
So today was the day that they left and headed west from Washburn, North Dakota. They would have had a good day to do it if they were leaving today, actually. It's partly cloudy and 42. It could be 60 in Washburn today.
You know what I never knew? Is that, you know, we've all heard of Lewis and Clark,
mm-hmm.
famous Lewis and Clark expeditions.
Yep.
But I never knew until just now that you mentioned it, that Lewis's first name was Meriwether.
Meriwether Lewis.
Yeah.
Yeah. See what you learn.
You don't
on
find
show.
A lot of guys named Meriwether anymore.
No. You find guys that maybe their last name is Weather and their first name is Mary.
Hey, buddy, you know. What's your name?
Meriwether.
Meriwether.
Just call me Mary. You can call me Mary. But it, yes, today is an historic day in the Corps of Discovery history.
Huh.
And I am Dave Schwann in the WGN Radio.
Meriwether Schwann.
Meriwether Schwann. And these are the stories.
Oh, listen to this.
What?
Meriwether Mazur. That sound, that has a ring to it.
I like that.
Meriwether Mazur has. That's alliterative.
Yes.
What a great name for
man.
A play-by-play sports announcer.
Man. I'm Meriwether Mazur with your play-by-play, man.
So what happens if it's like raining or snowing during the broadcast? It's not Meriwether.
It's not Meriwether.
The weather
no.
is not Mary.
Yeah. No.
You're almost kind of predispositioned to be a meteorologist with that name, aren't you?
Very true. Maybe that's why the name went away. Yeah, some names just, they, you know, was there a time when there were a lot of Meriwethers? I don't know.
I'm not sure. That's the only Meriwether I know of, actually.
I wonder if Mike Hammernick's real name is Meriwether.
And he shortened
we'll
it
have
to Mike?
Ask him.
Okay. He shortened it to Mike.
Yeah. Meriwether Hammernick?
Exactly.
Is that what you're saying?
Something like that. I mean, figuring he's a meteorologist, you know.
Some names just go away, don't they? They just, you know, like, fall out of favor.
And his partner, Clark, was just William. You can call him Bill.
Billy Clark?
Yeah. Yeah. Meriwether Lewis and William Clark. He was just Bill. Just plain Bill.
What would Meriwether's nickname be? Mary?
Mary, or just Mare.
Mare. Oh,
yeah, just Mare. Like, you know, hey, Mare, Lou.
Who can turn the world on with a smile?
And I can turn that into a sports story because the Final Four and the championship game are in Minneapolis.
What? Look at that.
Hey, you're going to make it after all.
No need to wake it. All right. I think we Meriwether milked that as much as we
possibly could. Let's go on our merry way, shall we?
I was trying to get into a thing about names that you don't hear very much anymore.
Yeah, Meriwether.
We used to have, I had a teacher whose first name was Elsa.
Hmm.
Do you ever hear anyone named Elsa these days?
Not often.
I had a great
school principal. That's a good German Scandinavian name.
Elsa?
Though. Yes.
Elsa.
Or a woman in Germany, in Northern Europe? Sure.
I had a great school principal named Milo.
Male or female?
Male.
Male. Milo. Like yeah. Milo Hamilton.
Hmm.
Was it Milo Hamilton who was your principal?
Yeah. Oh, no, he was not.
What about Maybell? You ever hear anyone named Maybell anymore?
Mm-mm.
No.
I'm trying to think of other names. Homer, I guess Homer is having a little bit of a resurgence.
Homer is?
Right.
I think.
Damn.
I think of other names that are a little outdated. Like, you know, the kind of, I guess they're sort of cyclical.
Mm-hmm. Things come and go.
I guess so.
Well, names like that you see all the time now, Joshua, Jason,
yeah.
Those were, when you were in grade school, how many guys did you know that were named Joshua or Jason?
I didn't think any.
Yeah.
Yeah, but now.
Now everybody is Joshua.
Yeah. Somebody texts in saying that John Wayne's real first name
is Marion.
Marion.
Mm-hmm.
About that.
Yeah. Yep.
Anyone going to make fun of him? I don't think
so. I don't think so.
Well, just how about Marion Hossa with the Blackhawks several years ago?
Well, yeah, yeah. All right. Well, that's a fascinating little segment.
What is in the name?
This is like PBS with today.
It's educational and informative.
We're very NPR today. Okay, well, let's take a break, and we'll find something else that's borderline boring.
Who knows what else we'll have in the next 3 hours.
It's going to be rough. That's all I can tell you. It's all coming up next, WG. Hey, Chicago, what do you say? Because we're going to win some. 9:51, Dean Richards, Sunday morning, WGN. The big home opener is tomorrow at Wrigley Field. We'll be live from Murphy's Bleachers. On the WGN TV Morning News tomorrow. Always have a lot of fun out there. I know Jeff Garland is coming out from Curb Your Enthusiasm and the Goldbergs. We always have lots of fun, lots of surprises, so we hope that you'll tune in for that. Whether it's the Cubs home opener or the Sox home opener the other day, I wonder what are some of your best memories of going to the good old ballpark. I'll bet that most of your experiences have to do with maybe going with your family, maybe with your dad. You know, it's a big experience, right? Your dad takes you to your first Cubs game or your first White Sox game. A big experience. I remember that as a kid, you know, because we grew up on the South Side, and we used to go only to White Sox games when we were little at the old Comiskey Park. And, you know, my dad would take all the boys and, you know, some of our friends, and we just had the best of times there. I mean, those are, you know, some of my best memories. As I got older and moved to the North Side, and, you know, WGN owned the Cubs back then, so it was super easy to go to Cubs games. And, oh, by the way, it was kind of free to go to the Cubs games. You know, we were there all the time. And Andy, back me up on this.
Yes.
For me, my first, you know, it was usually the home opener. You walk up the stairs into the ballpark and you see the splendor that is Wrigley Field. And it's kind of spiritual to me.
You know, it's interesting, too, because a lot of people watched the games on black and white TVs back in the day. And you never really knew what the color scheme was when you went to the ballpark. And I remember watching it on a really old old color television and, you know, didn't do it justice. And that first glimpse of whatever park you're going to, you know, Wrigley, very historic, and of course the old Comiskey, very historic as well. You get overwhelmed by just not just the sights, but there's a smell, there's kind of like an ambiance around it that you can't even see, but you feel it.
Yeah, I think that's very well put. I kind of feel the same way about that. For you know, whatever my first game is going to be. This year, when I walk into the park and I see and experience, and I guess I smell it as well. depends on how early I get there.
Good point.
What the smells might be.
It's like today. It's the smell of fresh cut grass. I
mean, yeah,
I smell the grass because they mow the lawn here. They mow the field here pretty much every day to get those little patterns that Roger Bossert has in the outfield and the infield, and you know they make sure that it's quality to play on, and you can smell it when you come in.
Yeah, there's something delicious, extra delicious, about having a hot dog in the stands.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can get a hot dog anywhere, pretty much, but there's something just special. You're in your chair, you're hearing the crowd, you're hearing a crack of a bat, and you're eating a hot dog, and there's just kind of an extra special feeling for me. How about some of your stories like that? 312-981-7200. Lisa, hi, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Hey, Dean. I love your show.
Thank you.
It's my Saturday morning crack. Oh, I love it.
Wow.
But going back just for 2 seconds about the vibe on that street, and if you ever get a chance to walk the Four Corners, it's just, it's overwhelming. It's like, I don't know, like being in Hawaii or something, it's just grounding. It's nothing like you ever experienced before. I can say that, but I don't know if that's what you guys are feeling and trying to convey. But
yeah, that's part of it. Part of it. I mean,
it's overwhelming.
Yeah. Did you used to go to the ballpark with family or, you know, friends?
Yeah.
I know a lot of people, you know, there's a group of friends that they go and they sit out in the bleachers or whatever, you know, people, co-workers, whatever, and you go and enjoy the games. And those are extra special feelings.
Yes. I used to skip school. And take the train down to the ballpark, but once in a while my dad would drop me off and he'd go across the street to Ray's bleachers and have a couple. I'd go into the ballpark and watch the game and he'd be there waiting for me.
Oh, he waited for you at the bar?
Yeah.
Okay.
Of course.
Yeah.
But the biggest surprise was the first night game, 8-8-88.
Yeah.
And he surprised me with tickets, and he took me to Wrigley Field.
Did he go in with you, or did he go across the street again?
No.
Oh, he actually went in.
No, he took me to, it was a surprise, he took me to the ball game.
Wow, how about that?
And it was just,
You got to watch the rain out. Yeah, you got to watch the rain out.
Which he was glad, because they stopped serving alcohol at 7th inning, so...
And
just
coming down 4-1 at that point, too.
Yeah. Oh, that was maybe one of the most torrential downpours I've ever seen in my life.
Honest to God.
Andy, who was it that was playing slip and slide on the tarp?
There was a lot of guys. There was Greg Maddux was one of them. He was sliding around.
Really?
Les Lancaster, the former reliever, was out there. And I think might have been Mike Bielecki.
Yeah, I remember this.
A lot of guys sliding on that tarp.
Yeah. I think they got fined.
They all got fined.
They got reprimanded somehow for that.
That was fun. I happened to be there that night also, and it was so much fun the first night game. Lisa, thank you very much. Hi, Mike. You're on WGN.
Hello, Dean. Couple things. One is I couldn't agree with you more coming up those stairs and seeing that freshly cut, you know, grass. It's just breathtaking. It's the best part of the game. But the other thing is years ago, my brother and I, my dad took us down, and he somehow got us introduced to Ron Santo and Ernie Banks.
Wow.
And we ended up on the wall. Ron Santo picked my brother and I up over the wall, put us on the field, and we have pictures with both of them.
Wow.
Can you imagine? I mean, it was just unbelievable.
That's amazing. Do you still have those pictures?
Oh, God, yes. Oh, God, yes.
Yeah.
And they were so nice. They were so nice to us. It was
legendary.
You just never forget something like that.
Yeah, I only admired Ronnie from afar when I was a kid. And when I got to meet him, here at WGN, when he started, I think he was here before I was, and got to meet him and, you know, got to know him, not like Andy. I mean, Andy was, at his side night and day, traveling with him. But just to get to know what a wonderful man that he was, in addition to an amazing athlete, one hell of a broadcaster, one hell of a philanthropist, and his various charitable interests. He was quite a man. So you can imagine, Andy, right? As a kid,
you get
to meet Ron Santo and Ernie Banks and get your picture with both of them. Wow, it's
absolutely amazing to think that. And both of those guys were very genuine human beings. Just to add on to that story about Ronnie, I knew Ron was a big deal when I met him. But I didn't realize how big a deal he was until I brought my dad up to meet him. And my dad was absolutely in awe.
Yeah.
And I've never seen my dad like that before.
Right.
And he was a little nervous to meet Ron Santo. And Ron, of course, being Ron, gave him a big hug. Meeting him for the first time, you feel like you knew him for your whole life.
Appreciate the call, Mike. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Have a great day. We'll take a quick break and update news next. WGN. Some baseball memories this morning. Not the X's and O's on the scorecards, but just some of the wonderful feelings, experiences that you may have had. Our text line's full of them. People are checking in with us this morning and telling us about the, you know, first time they went to a ballpark or when they went to the ballpark and, you know, one of their parents told off an umpire. That's an interesting story. We were five or six rows away from the old bullpen. The Cubs were doing poorly. My mom made mention of it to the umpires.
Mom made mention of it.
Years ago, my mom bought me an Ernie Banks book for my birthday, took me to a Cubs game, and I was lucky enough to have Ernie sign his book for me on my birthday. Another one said, my first time at Wrigley, my dad, uncle, cousin, and I went. It was the greatest game as the Cubs won, and they took first place standings in 1969. Fans rushed onto the field and were running the bases. Everyone was ecstatic. I was 10 years old. Yeah, those are experiences you'll never forget. You know, and similar things. I don't really remember it, but when they set off the air raid sirens...
In 59?
Was that 1959?
Scared everybody to death.
The fire commissioner at the time when the White Sox won the pennant,
yeah.
And they set off. Can you imagine that?
Well, yeah, the height of the Cold War, 1959. Set off.
Nikita Khrushchev's got his guns pointed at us, and they're setting off the air raid sirens.
He doesn't like the White Sox.
I am more North Sider. I not like.
He thought Moose and Squirrel were on the South Side there.
Yeah, but you know, just all kinds of memories. I'll tell you know what. Really, this is kind of a weird story, but one of my it's a Cubs memory I'll never forget. This was 1996. I went to a Cubs game, sat in the bleachers, had a blast. So much fun. I got so sunburned. I'm surprised I didn't wind up in the hospital. I got so sunburned. Went home, and my dad passed away the next morning. So,
oh, really?
So, that's the sad part of the story. But the next few days with wakes and funerals and memorials and, you know, all the things that you do when a loved one passed away, I was in so much pain.
Oh, wow.
From that
I never
sunburn.
Knew that, Dean.
I will never forget that as long as I live, the ridiculous sunburn that I had the day before, because I went to a ball game the day before.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, crazy, right?
Wow.
Crazy.
A friend of mine and I took our fathers to a Cubs game for Father's Day one year, about 30 years ago.
Yeah, yeah.
That was a great day, too.
Here's an interesting experience. 312 area code. Had my first experience at Wrigley Field, and a pigeon pooped on me. Those are great baseball memories that you'll never forget. So we get set for the big home opener tomorrow, WGN morning.
Everybody's going to be watching the sky instead of the ball game.
Wear your baseball caps is all I can say.
With a great big brim.
Everybody's going to have a poncho on tomorrow, and it's not even going to rain. We'll be live at Murphy's Bleachers tomorrow morning on the WGN-TV Morning News to celebrate. We're going to take a quick break. Time for our Week in Theater segment. We've got something really special for you this morning. It's a group of three great musicians called Time for Three. Two violinists and a double bassist, stand-up bass player. And they do everything from Bach to Brahms to Katy Perry to Taylor Swift to Justin Timberlake. Everything. It's a really interesting mixture of music that they play, and it's a pleasure to have Time for Three in our WGN performance
What's
studio
up?
This morning. Guys, good morning. Thank
good
you
morning.
For being here.
Good morning.
So tell me how you developed this concept. You know, you have these extremely classical instruments, but often, you know, you start busting a move with your classical instruments.
Oh, you know, I mean, everybody can't see it, but we're having a dance party in here.
That's right.
That's just what we're doing.
I'm going to be in there later.
Oh, dude.
Yeah, yeah.
It's actually a great view for this, but thank you so much for having us. Time for Three has actually been to this Windy City, and we love being here. It's a great music town. But yeah, I mean, Time for Three started, the concept actually kind of is what a lot of young people who are studying through the vein of classical music are doing, you know, with access to a lot of music genres and kind of the breakdown of those genres. People are kind of, you know, they're learning how to play the great masterworks, but they're also playing the music that they want to play, which may include stuff on the radio or originals. And that's really, that's at the root of Time for Three. A lot of what we're doing now is actually original stuff, which is really exciting. We're having composers write concertos for us, like us as featured soloists with big symphony orchestras, and that's actually what we did at Ravinia with the Chicago Symphony a couple of summers ago. But then we're also writing our own songs. And it's, yeah, it's just a mixture of a lot of different stuff through our own original voice. It's a lot of fun.
Let's meet each one of you. Just go around the room here and tell us, you know, who you are.
All right, so the one who was just speaking, my name is Nick Kendall.
The one who's speaking now is Renan Meyer. I play the bass. What's up, Chicago?
And the one that's speaking
very,
now.
Very musician of you.
Yeah, he's got a good voice for
what's
radio,
up,
right?
What's up, Chicago?
We love it here.
Sweet home, Chicago. That's what it, you know. We actually went out to a blues club last night.
Oh, yeah.
And
did
we
you
went
play?
To Kingston Mercer. Yeah. Kingston Mines.
Kingston Mines, yeah.
And it was... it was amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, just to get the culture here,
the vibe,
in Chicago.
Right?
Yeah,
yeah. You didn't play, did you? Did you?
We wanted to
get up with your violins and jam with the
they
guys.
They wouldn't have let us in with the violins.
That would have been great. Did we get everybody? I think we missed. Did we get Charles? Did we get you?
Yes. This kind of prepubescent voice is Charles. This is me.
I don't know
this
about that. So, where are you guys from originally?
Oh boy. Originally, so this is Nick. I was born in the Midwest. Actually, I was born in St. Louis, but kind of grew up in Washington, D.C., outside of Washington, D.C. in Maryland.
Okay. Yeah. Renan, how about you?
Yeah, I grew up in South Jersey, right outside of Philadelphia.
And how about you, Charles?
I grew up in Austin, Texas.
Woo! Wow, that's quite a little world atlas that you've given us there. You came together at school? How did you all meet?
No, we met on Craigslist.
Yeah.
Really? Seriously?
No, I'm kidding.
It would be first time I've heard that, but it wouldn't surprise me if a group got together.
Yeah, no, we met at Music Conservatory. The band actually started at the Curtis Institute of Music in Philadelphia. And then with Charles coming into the band almost 4 years ago, Charles went to the Juilliard School in New York. And like I was saying before, I mean, each one of us in our own right, we're doing the same exact stuff. And when Charles joined the band, it was just like incredibly, I mean, it was amazing to meet somebody else who kind of had the same background, even from early childhood in Austin.
Right. They're going to be performing today at Nichols Concert Hall in Evanston, 1490 Chicago Avenue in Evanston. They're nice enough to come in a little early today to give us a little sample of what they do, and then maybe you can go check them out this afternoon at 3 o'clock. What is the first song that you guys are going to do for us?
We're going to play a tune that we wrote. The song's called Deanna.
Take it away. This is Time for Three.
Who's your muse that's amusing you in your sleep? Who's that smile for dividing us under these sheets? I feel like I've been on my own.
Smile.
to breakfast with drinking your coffee and tea. Who's that look for, that look when you're looking at me? I feel like I've been on my own when I'm with you. Yeah. I feel like I'm on my own, staring back at you.
It's time for three. They're performing today at 3 o'clock at Nichols Concert Hall in Evanston. You can get tickets at 800-838-3006 or musicinst.org. We'll hear more from them when we come back next on WGN 56. Dean Richards Sunday morning on WGN with the group Time for Three in studio with us playing live this morning. You can catch them at Nichols Concert Hall in Evanston this afternoon at 3 o'clock. And, guys, you've got a classic for us next, right?
Yes.
Take it away.
Yes,
take
sir.
Take it away. I won't cry, I won't cry, no.
shed no tear, just as long as you stand, stand by me. So darling, darling, stand by me. Oh, stand by me. Oh, stand now, stand by me.
So great.
Yeah.
So great. Thank you guys so much.
Thanks, man.
Wow. That's great. Just a little sample of Time for Three. They are playing at 3 o'clock today. Was that planned?
Totally.
You
totally.
Only do performances at 3 o'clock?
Always.
It's mostly 3 a.m.
A.m. or p.m. Exactly. Right. Yeah. So, happens to be 3 p.m. today at Nichols Concert Hall in Evanston, 1490 Chicago Avenue. There is discount seating for seniors. And for students, you can get tickets at musicinst.org or by calling 800-838-3006. Nick Kendall and Charles Yang and Renan Meyer, guys, thank you so much for coming in today. We really appreciate
it. Thanks for having us in.
That sounded fantastic. A quick break and we'll update news. Coming up next, WGN. We've got our weekend box office numbers in. Not a surprise that Shazam is the big winner for the weekend, and I think rightfully so. It's a pretty great movie. Number one at $53 million. Pet Sematary, also a great movie. We had some really good movies open this weekend. Pet Sematary came in at number two. Bounces down last week's Dumbo. Down to the number three spot. And Shwani, I know you're very excited that the new Avengers movie is going to be coming out. I know you're a huge fan.
The Avengers. Wasn't there an earlier Pet Sematary movie?
There was in the, I want to say like 1985.
And we have a remake already.
Well, it's 30 years later. 30
years later.
30 years later. Yeah.
It must be getting old.
You know who was in the original? Fred Gwynne. The great Fred Gwynne.
Yeah.
Herman Munster.
From Herman, right.
From the Munsters. And he should have won an Academy Award for My Cousin Vinny.
Oh, he was great.
Playing the judge. Playing the judge. What's a ute?
What's a ute?
Sir, what's a ute?
What's a ute?
That's such a good... That's one of those movies that when it's on, you know, you're right. Channel surfing, you stop and watch it.
You just stop and watch it and just... Forget about everything
else. No matter how many times you've seen it, no matter you know every word, that's one of those movies for me. I will always stop and watch My Cousin Vinny.
And I love it when he puts her on the stand and she's got those makes and models of the cars.
Right, all the statistics.
Down cold.
All the statistics. Marissa Tomei, who did win an Oscar for that movie, and Joe Pesci should have won. Joe Pesci was amazing in that movie. That there should have been awards all the way around for everybody in that.
I agree.
What are some of the other movies that when they're on, you will stop whatever you're doing to watch?
Young Frankenstein, Blazing Saddles.
Young Frankenstein was just on recently. Mm-hmm. I'm channel surfing around, and I turn it on right when they're doing the scene. If you're blue and you don't know where to
go. That's your favorite part.
Putting on the ring.
Woo!
Oh, my gosh. That's a funny movie. That's hilarious.
Yeah, those two. Being a space guy, if Apollo 13 or something like that makes the rounds, no matter how many times I saw that,
I could see that.
For me,
Shawshank Redemption.
Shawshank Redemption?
Every time. Every time I will stop and watch. Yeah. I love that movie. How about you, Andy?
Slapshot.
Of course.
Can't be without it. It's one of those movies where you say, I'll watch for 10 minutes. I love that scene. And next thing you know, the credits are rolling at the end.
Right. Rudy, for me, also, talking about sports movies. Major League. I'll stop and watch every time.
Yeah, that one too. Right. Oh.
There's some great ones. 312-981-7200. I just want to open up the phones for a couple of minutes. Of movies that you will watch over and over and over again. Stop whatever you're doing when it comes on, and you will rewatch that movie again. Well, which one's for you? 312-981-7200. I've only mentioned it about 4 million times. Of course, I can't remember. 312-981-7200. While we're getting a couple of calls on that, let me just mention, I mentioned the Avengers are going to be opening in a couple of weeks. The stars of the movie got together over the weekend and, did some personal appearances. They did some interviews and things like that. But you think these Hollywood types, why don't they just keep their mouths closed and just make movies? Here are a bunch of stars putting their money where their mouths are, donating $5 million to children's hospitals and children's charities, to the Starlight Foundation, which makes, wishes come true for kids with life-threatening and fatal illnesses. You got to love that. I'm sorry. When there have been crises, when there have been earthquakes and hurricanes, and stars step up and they start donating huge amounts of money, you have to admire that, I think. And in this case, Robert Downey Jr., Chris Hemsworth, Scarlett Johansson, Jeremy Renner, Paul Rudd, Brie Larson, all part of this, and the Disney company that owns the Marvel franchise. They'll make that money back. Disney will make it back in like 3 minutes when the movie opens. They already broke records for pre-sales. Tickets for pre-sales for Avengers Endgame went on sale the other day, and they already broke every record for pre-sales. So if you're intending on seeing that movie when it opens, I highly suggest that you get money ahead of time. All right, quick break. And movies you have to watch when they... you see them on TV, you have to stop what you're doing to watch. We'll get to that next. WGN 1123, Dean Richards, Sunday morning. WGN tomorrow morning on the WGN TV Morning News. We're live at Murphy's Bleachers for the Cubs home opener tomorrow. Tons of fun, plus the star of TV's The Goldbergs and Curb Your Enthusiasm, our pal Jeff Garland, will be out there live with us as well. Lots of fun tomorrow morning, WGN TV Morning News. Vivian, good morning. You are on WGN.
Good morning, Dean. How are you?
Very well. Now, so do you have some of these movies now that when you see them, you're channel surfing, you always stop and watch no matter what?
Absolutely. Moonstruck.
Oh, that's like in my top three favorite movies of all time.
Oh, every time. Every time. Such a talented class of characters,
right?
And actors and actresses. It every time.
It's a sweet story. It's hilarious. It's so relatable. I mean, those characters, could be my family in many ways.
Exactly.
And some classic scenes. Listen to this.
Last night never happened, and I'm going to marry him, and you and I are going to take this to our coffin.
I can't do that.
Why not?
I'm in love with you.
Nicolas Cage.
Snap out of it!
That's classic. Classic.
Great actors and actresses. Cher was just perfect in that.
She won the Academy Award, yeah.
Yeah, she was good.
Vivian, have a great day today.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Mm-hmm. Hi, Gina. You're on WGN.
Hey, my favorite three are Back to School, Caddyshack, and League of Their Own. What do you think of those?
Wow, what a combo platter of movies right there.
Well, I love Rodney Dangerfield.
Oh, Rodney Dangerfield. Do you ever go on YouTube and watch some of his stand-up comedy when he's on Johnny Carson?
What I've seen on Johnny Carson, exactly.
Yeah.
And, you know, Carson just kind of is the straight man, says, oh, really? Oh, really?
Right.
You know, and he just goes for it. Oh, he's so awesome.
It is so funny. But those are all classic movies. I agree. Caddyshack, definitely. You know, that's usually you get the dudes chiming in on Caddyshack. So, you know, good for you for bending the gender bridge there a little bit. Appreciate the call.
I'm a sports fanatic.
There you go.
Thanks.
Gina, have a great day today. Thank you very much. This is Paul. You are on WGN. Good morning.
Hey, Dean. The movie that always gets me any time that I'm stumbling upon it on the television, Airplane. I am
surely.
The lines in that stand the test of time.
Surely you can't mean the movie Airplane.
Surely you can't be serious. Yes, I am. That's
stop calling me Shirley. It's a classic. You know what? Maybe my friend, that movie, I agree with you. I can watch it 100 times. I know every joke. I could probably recite the dialogue with the actors while I'm watching it. The scene.
Put ham on five and hold the mayo.
With Barbara Billingsley, June Cleaver on the plane.
Oh. Yeah.
They're trying to talk to two African-Americans. Guys, and the stewardess, I guess they called it back then, the flight attendant, wasn't able to, they weren't understanding what the flight attendant was saying, and June Cleaver, in all of her suburban whiteness, goes up, oh, that's all right, stewardess, I speak jive. And she starts speaking Ebonics to these two African-American guys. That is a funny movie.
Outstanding.
Paul, have a great day. Thank you.
You too.
And Laura, you're on WGN. This is
Hi there.
This is an interesting pick that I 1,000% agree with.
Under the Tuscan Sun.
Yeah, with Diane Lane.
It's such a beautiful, beautiful movie. Like, and I know, I don't think it got great reviews when it first came out, but all the characters in it, the acting in it is amazing. It's just, you can find it on TV and then if you're stressed, like, I can, it's so beautiful. And you just can join the movie anywhere it is and figure out what's happening. It's really a sweet movie.
It's such a sweet, romantic, life-affirming movie.
Oh, yeah.
It's, if you've ever been to Italy, it will take you right back to the beauty of being in that part of the world. If you've never been, I promise you, it's like taking a visit yourself. Italy. It's aesthetically, visually so beautiful.
It's beautiful. Yeah. I mean, I think they filmed it in Cortona and Montepulciano, and I was not in either of those places, but I was in other places near there about 15 years ago, and you're right. I mean, it's just amazing to see those tiny towns brought to life.
It takes you there, and it gives you, you know, any time that I've been on vacation and I've gone to any place like that, you know, and you just, you stand there and wonder of, these people live their lives like this every day. What am I doing in my life?
Mm-hmm.
That's
how
what
you go
this
to work
movie
every
is.
Day.
Right,
How do you go to work? You have a job? You have a normal job? How do you go to work?
You don't stop in the afternoon and take a nap? What? That's not possible. But the movie is so lovely and so romantic and so about finding yourself and what makes you happy.
And Diane Lane has been great since when I was in like eighth grade. She came out in that movie that's The Darling Love Story with Laurence Olivier in it. And I can't think of the name of it right now. I love that movie. And so she's just done some of the sweetest romantic movies through the years that are sweet.
Yeah. I like Diane Lane a lot, too. I 1,000%. I liked it. I don't remember if it overall got great reviews or not, but I remember that I was blown away by it. And that's one that I will stop and watch every time also. I love it.
Great.
Thank you. Thank you for making me feel like I'm in Italy for a minute.
Yeah. Thanks, Dean.
Have a great day, Laura. Thank you. Here is John. You're on WGN. Good morning.
Yeah, I'm going to take you to Ireland.
Let's go.
John Wayne, Barry Fitzgerald, Ward Bond, Maureen O'Hara.
Holy smokes. The Quiet Man is just a fantastic classic of all time. Maureen O'Hara in that movie. Oh my gosh, what a performance.
Isn't that right? And Barry Fitzgerald as the I forget what they call him, like a Seamus or something. He's the chaperone when they're dating.
Yeah.
Yeah, great movie, great fight scene. They stop in the middle of it and go into a bar and have a couple of belts.
Yeah.
And then right back out on the street.
And then go out in the street and have a couple of belts.
Yeah, there you go. Great line, dude.
I wish these movies were on more often. I mean, it's the way movies, the way that television channels and networks, work now, and the way the rights are assigned to certain companies that can play the movies. These great movies just don't get on it enough anymore. And things like Netflix and Hulu and, you know, a lot of the other channels, some of the movies are available that way. So many of these classics just get completely lost, which is a shame.
Right. I quote the line from The Quiet Man when I have house guests from Barry Fitzgerald when he's acting as the matchmaker. The propriety shall be observed at all times. Always the propriety.
That is fantastic.
Have a great Sunday.
Thanks, pal. I appreciate it.
What gives character the taste worth fighting for? The bright, inviting taste worth fighting for. Carrington's got a charcoal tip and it's got a white one too.
Us Tarriton smokers would rather fight
than switch.
Join the unswitchable Tarriton.
What? So I'd mentioned that when I smoked cigarettes, that's what I...
Tarriton.
I have no idea why I chose that brand, except that probably those...
You actually smoke them?
Yeah. Yep. Because it had a charcoal tip. I figured it had a charcoal tip. And it must have made me a tough guy if I was willing to get a black eye because of the choice of cigarettes that I'm smoking. Number one.
I can see you going into the store. I'm going to have a pack.
Just in case you're not getting enough cancer from the tobacco, add a charcoal tip to, smoke it
all
through.
Now it turns into real carcinogens.
Yeah, you're carcinogens plus with all that going on.
You know, come to think of it, I think I had an uncle that smoked Tarriton. Now that you're bringing back all these repressed memories.
I don't remember why I the first cigarettes that I smoked, talking about, you know, being on the beach and the nice weather and all that, I used to steal my dad's cigarettes, who smoked Marlboros.
Oh.
We would steal like a couple of cigarettes out of his pack of cigarettes and then go down by Rainbow Beach on the south side.
Oh, and smoke down at the beach?
And, you know, me and my friend Charlie, you know, we were big shots. Like... Big shots.
And say things like, we're breaking out tonight.
Stupid. Stupid, dumb kids. I'm glad they're changing Tarriton. The law. They had to change it to 41, not 21.
There you go. Yeah. Wow.
Okay.
I haven't heard that name in ages.
What, Tarriton?
No, yeah. I haven't heard that in ages.
There's all kinds of... One of these days, I think it would be interesting to do it because cigarette commercials are now banned from the airwaves. I mean, we can play them like we just did for a dramatic purpose or, you know, like a show topic,
right.
But we can't run it as actual advertising. But some of the cigarette commercials are hilarious, including Lucy and Desi Arnaz. They were sponsored by Philip Morris. Practically the whole time that I Love Lucy was on the air. That's why you always saw them smoking on the show. And they also did many commercials for them as well. Fred Flintstone and Barney Rubble did a commercial for Winston Cigarettes.
Yes, they did. In fact, I think you found the audio for that a while ago.
Yeah, we played it a while back.
You dug it out and played it, yeah.
It's Yabba Dabba Stupid. Cigarette commercial on a children's animated show.
Right, Fred?
What's wrong with all that? We're talking about movies that when you see them, you're channel surfing, you see them, and you always stop to watch them. This is Rocky on the phone line. Hi, you're on WGN, Rocky.
Hi, how are you?
Very well.
Good. The Sting?
The Sting with Robert Redford and Paul Newman.
Paul Newman. You remember when he put his hand to his nose and he got the Sting?
Oh, that was a great movie. That was a great movie. I remember the theme song from the movie.
Yeah, The Entertainer.
Remember this?
Yeah. Scott Marvin Hamlisch.
Marvin Hamlisch, right? Playing the Scott Joplin song. Classic. Good stuff.
Can I give you one more
please,
real quick?
Yes, please do.
How about The Great Santini? You remember that one?
Oh, that's such a good movie. Robert Duvall, right?
Right, exactly.
Robert Duvall. That's some classic
movies. The Great Santini.
Good stuff. Rocky, have a great day today. Thank you.
You too. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Hi, Lisa. You're on WGN.
Hi, Dean.
Good morning.
I'm a wonderful fan of yours.
Aren't you nice? Thank you.
My favorite, what I stop on, Terms of Endearment.
Oh, boy. You like a good cry, I guess, huh?
Well, you know, I'm a chick. So you have to like it. I think everybody in that movie deserved an Oscar.
Yeah. Oh, Deborah Winger was Shirley MacLaine, forget about it, was
I know. So I'm in love with her.
I love Shirley MacLaine and everything. Jack Nicholson was great, but Deborah Winger.
Jack Nicholson, in love, yes.
That scene where Deborah Winger is saying goodbye to her young boys. She has cancer. Yeah. She's dying. She's saying goodbye to her young boys.
Oh, yeah.
Rips.
And she wipes off her makeup.
Rips my heart out every time.
I know.
And
all of it. It's just fabulous.
Shirley MacLaine, when it's time for her daughter's pain medication, and the nurses are paying attention. I've coined that term now. When I've been in a hospital and, you know, the nurses aren't responding or whatever, it's like, do I have to go all Shirley MacLaine on you for that? I'm sure nobody knows what I'm talking about there. Okay, Grandpa, whatever. That's a great choice. Yeah, I really appreciate it. Thank you. Have a great day, Lisa.
You too.
Bye-bye. Hi, Ruth. You're on WGN.
Hi. How are you?
Very well. We got a beautiful day today. Having some fun on the radio. Why not?
Mine is Oh Brother, Where Art Thou?
Oh, my gosh. What a great movie that is.
Yeah, I really like that. And, of course, Sleepless in Seattle.
Those are good ones. But Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? George Clooney, right?
Yes.
That's a Coen Brothers movie, I remember. Who else was in that now? I'm trying to remember.
I think John
Turturro?
The one that Goodman.
John Goodman.
Yeah, I think he was the salesman in there.
I have to look it up. I don't remember. But I remember it's one of the first full cast interviews that I did with. I went to New York, and I remember I interviewed George Clooney and the Coen brothers and whoever else was in the movie. But that's a fantastic movie.
I just thought it was hysterical when George Clooney had those overalls and he's singing in the jailhouse now, or he's in the jailhouse now.
Right.
But I just want to quick say something about the smoking, if that's right.
Oh, yeah, sure.
I just find it ironic that, and not that I approve of smoking or drinking in the context of the young people, but you're not mature enough at 18 to decide if smoking or drinking is good for you, or not to do it, or whatever, but you're mature enough to vote,
yeah,
or mature enough to go fight for the country.
Right, to enlist and go overseas and give up your life. Right.
So why don't they make the law that you can't vote again until you're 21, and also you can't go off to war until you're 21.
Yeah, if the government's going to decide an age of maturity that you can maturely make decisions, why not be consistent with it all?
That's what it gets me when they say that. Yeah. Oh, you can't do this and you can't do that.
Yeah.
But we want you to do this. We want your vote, and we also want you to go to war.
Right. Yeah, there's a certain hypocrisy to that. And, of course, the ultimate hypocrisy, I mean, if you're raising the age to buy cigarettes higher because you know that it's unhealthy and you don't want young people to do things that are unhealthy and might kill them, why are you selling products that might kill somebody in the first place? There's the complete hypocrisy of it all.
Exactly.
We know that you're going to get cancer, emphysema, a whole line of diseases from smoking, and I guess it's everybody's right to, if they want to kill themselves. But we know that it's bad, and it's just a matter of we're going to put a certain age, and then the hypocrisy that you're talking about clicks in.
Right. My mother told me I could use my own intelligence in smoking, and of course I did smoke, and then she said, I thought you'd be smarter than that.
Ah.
But I did quit, and I quit for, like you, over 30 years now. So.
Do you ever have cravings like I do now?
Once in a great while, it might really, like you said, after dinner.
Right.
You know.
Isn't that something, after all these years? That's still stuck in your head. They say that the nicotine is far more addictive than many of the harder drugs that are out there.
Yeah, because they can't seem to drop anymore. I mean, I know I did have a difficult time, but then at that time I didn't earn much money and I wanted a different car. And I thought, how can I afford this? And I went over my budget and everything. And then I said, if I quit smoking.
Ah.
So that kind of kicked me in the butt.
Right. And cigarettes were, like $1 a pack or something?
Yeah.
30 cents a pack, not $10, yeah. $12, whatever it is now.
I could never absorb that.
Yep. I'm with you. I appreciate the call, Ruth.
Okay,
have a great day today.
You.
Thank you. It's 11:53 WGN. One more to wrap up this movies you got to stop and watch whenever they come on. And this is Glenda. You're on WGN. Hello.
Hi, Dean?
Yes. Hi, Glenda.
Yes, it's Linda, actually.
Oh, Linda. I'm sorry.
Yes, I'm calling you from Florida. I'm a snowbird, and I listen to WGN on the stream every day, all day. And I started to put your movie reviews as a post on our Nextdoor Digest. It's like a neighborhood Facebook. It's great.
Oh, fantastic.
And all my neighbors, I sent you 4 texts. I copied my posts and sent them to you. So I'm the self-appointed movie reviewer, and I have 4 quick movies to tell you about.
Okay.
The first one is Chicago-based. I love it dearly. Return to Me.
Oh, I love that.
Bonnie Hunt wrote that. I think you talked about that. I
love Bonnie. Love Bonnie's movie, Return to Me. She directed it. Yes, all Chicago.
Okay, the next one is Sleepless in Seattle.
Also good. Okay.
The next one is The American President, and boy, is that pertinent today. Even today, what he says, what Michael Douglas says in the last speech that he gives to a press release is fabulous. I mean, it's even pertinent today.
Yeah.
You know, very pertinent.
Those are the movies that can be so relevant.
That
even
was on just a couple
ago.
Weeks ago.
Yeah,
you can get a lot of them on Amazon Prime for free, and a lot of people have Amazon Prime. But the fourth one is really important too. It's called The Imitation Game, and I would suggest that you watch it and put closed captioning on. But it is a fabulous movie about the man who is considered the father of the first computer. He helped decode the Enigma, the German Enigma,
yes.
And was saved about 14 million people and helped stop World War II.
Yeah, that was.
And also is an apple. An apple with a bite out of it is a symbol that Steve Jobs used for Apple.
Yeah.
And I don't want to spoil the ending to the movie, but if they watch The Imitation Game and then they look up Alan Turing on Google, they'll find out what happened to him and why a bite out of an apple from the founder of the first computer is pertinent. And I think every Apple employee should watch it.
Wow. We go into the news with intrigue. I love that.
Yeah, I don't want to spoil the ending, but The Bite Out of the Apple, it's a really, really good movie. But put closed captioning on because it's easier.
All right.
So those 4, Return to Me, Sleepless in Seattle, The American President, and The Imitation Game. All of them great movies, and I sent you a text with my post and my phone number, so you can call me if you need me. Okay.
Thank you.
I'm turning into a little neighborhood movie review.
I love that. Where are you in Florida, Glenda?
It's Linda, and I'm in the Villages.
Sorry,
it's a retirement community, and my neighbors keep posting back. Keep them coming. So I got a bunch of them written down from this morning.
In what city, though? I'm at, is what I mean.
It's called The Villages. It's a little north and west of Orlando. It's a retirement community.
Okay, all right.
And the people here just love it. They keep wanting me to put one every week on.
Very nice.
I listen to you, and then I get
feel
more.
Feel free.
On.
Yeah, feel free. Feel free to share with everybody. It's nice of you to call up. I hope you have a great weekend.
In your Easter bonnet with all the
won't be long now. Easter Sunday right around the corner. One of the biggest brunch days of the year. It's right up there with Mother's Day. Biggest days to go out for brunch. Joining us with some Easter brunch recommendations, our pal Phil Vitale, the food critic for your Chicago Tribune. Phil, good afternoon. How are you doing there, my friend?
I am doing great, Dean. Thanks for having me.
I missed tremendously when we were all in one building over at Tribune Tower.
Yes.
I would run into you occasionally in the hallways or the, you know, the fine food services that they had over there. Does that, did that sound sarcastic? I meant it that way.
Just a bit, yeah.
Yeah, so are you enjoying your new digs over at the Prudential Building?
They're very bright and shiny and clean, and they do have a couple of little restaurants in the building, which doesn't do me any good, but it definitely helps out my my colleagues. So we could have done worse. I think Blair Kamen's assessment that our new building looks like the box the Tribune Tower came in was a funny line.
That's hilarious. That is hilarious. I'm looking at our old building right now, the, you know, where the construction's going.
Right.
Yeah.
You're up high, at least. I'm on the third floor. I've got no view to speak of.
Yeah, we have a nice view. We did upgrade view-wise from our street level of people putting their buttocks up against the window while we're trying to do shows. So that's part.
They can do it now. More power to them.
Yeah, if they can get up this high, more power to them. Exactly. So I'm correct, right, that Easter Sunday is the one of the biggest brunch days of the year?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
So you're right. Mother's Day is the only other thing that comes close.
And are we still talking hotels are your best bet if you're trying to go and find a good Easter brunch somewhere?
Hotels are always really good because their buffets are the biggest and the most widespread to have the most choices food-wise. So if you're a family and you have family members with diverse tastes, then you may be happiest in a hotel. However, hotels have kind of escalated their prices quite a bit, so you will pay a lot. And so individual restaurants they've gotten more and more into this Sunday brunch game, and they're probably your best bet from a budget standpoint.
Yeah, I was just looking at the list that you had sent over, that the Easter brunch at the Peninsula Hotel. Now, you know, that's a spectacular hotel, spectacular room, spectacular food. $225 per person.
Yeah.
That's got to be the one of the highest, I would think, in the city.
One of the highest. I didn't look, but based on previous years, I would say the restaurant in Trump Tower is more expensive.
Oh, wow. Okay. All right.
You're not going to save significant money at some of the other city's best, fanciest hotels.
Yeah. So let's run down a few of your picks of places to go where you can still get a reservation for Easter. Run down the list here because, you know, we have to get to a baseball shortly, so we're going to be a little bit short of time today, right?
All right. From an a la carte standpoint, I like Bar Biscay, which is 1450 West Chicago Avenue. They're a Spanish-style restaurant, so they'll have some really interesting food there. A la carte at the Florentine at the JW Marriott Hotel in the Loop, you'll be looking at a much more traditional type Easter buffet. Same with the Grill on the Alley at 909 North Michigan Avenue. If you're a little more adventurous, the a la carte menu at La Serena Clandestina, which is on Fulton Market, which is the big hot neighborhood for restaurants right now.
Right.
Tried and true, Lowry's the Prime Rib on Ontario Street.
When's the last time you went to Lowry's, Phil?
Wow, it's been, 5 years.
I only say because with me it's been years.
Yeah.
But talk about a restaurant with longevity, right?
Wow, yeah.
As restaurants go through these trendy, whatever the food trend is, they're putting out, you know, their big old red meat, and everybody's enjoying it.
Right. And they saved a fortune on menu redesign.
That's right.
Because they haven't changed the menu in 100 years. But when everybody's clamoring for that prime rib and maybe a piece of salmon, why change? Everybody knows why you're going to Lowry's the prime rib.
Yeah. Wow. I haven't been there in such a long time. Anyway, go continue, please.
All right. In Pilsen, there's a cute newish place about a year or so old called Monty Burke's. It's on 18th Street. They're doing a walk-around buffet with a prime rib carving station as one of its big highlights. Similarly, River Roast, which is at the river in LaSalle Street, they're doing a $55 buffet with they're roasting. They're doing carving ham. They're carving smoked turkey. They're carving beef strip loin. They've got a whole salmon they're doing. That should be nice. Tried and true, the Signature Room. Talk about a restaurant that's been around for a long, 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 long time on the unnamed building at 875 North Michigan Avenue. John Hancock to
formally,
you and me.
Formerly, yes.
They're doing a buffet brunch. That's going to cost you because they're way up there and you get that view, but it's $80 and $35 for kids under 12. Out in the suburbs, I really like The Barn in Evanston. They have an a la carte menu. There's a very nice place in Forest Park called The Heritage, and their a la carte menu, Easter is not significantly different there than it is for every Sunday at that place. It's a really cute place. In Oak Brook, the Hyatt Lodge does a big, fancy Easter brunch with entertainers and the Easter Bunny and a magician and this and that, which partly explains the $67 adult and $26 kid price. And one of my favorites always is Shaw's Crab House in Schaumburg on Higgins Road, where they have the seafood buffet, and I can load up on all that crab meat and lobster, and I always get my money's worth at that place, yep. Even though it's $75 for Easter.
Yep.
But that's only a $10 upcharge from the regular price.
Yeah, that's not too bad, considering. I mean, normally holidays are a little more expensive.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little busier. It's, you know, to me, going out on those days are not the best days to go out because they're so busy and often so pressed. But you go to some place like Shaw's, you know you're going to hit a home run every time.
Right. Yeah, you're right about the holiday thing. It's like, well, it's going to be a lot more crowded, but on the other hand, it's going to cost you more. And so you have that to deal with.
Right.
But restaurants space out their seating so it's never too crazy.
I imagine the Shaw's downtown is probably pretty much offering the same kind of deal.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a little less involved. The Higgins Road place has more space. But yes, Shaw's in downtown is always a good spot.
Yeah, wonderful food there. What's the story with Ocean Prime?
Ocean Prime is an out-of-town concept that just opened about 3 days ago, and they're right there in the building called London House, which is the southwest corner of Wacker Drive and Michigan Avenue, right across from the bridge. Very upscale seafood restaurant that has got good reputation in the cities they've been in, and now they're here in Chicago, and this is the first, Easter will be one of the first Sundays they're open, and they're doing an a la carte brunch with lots of seafood options, and it's, if you're looking for something on the upscale side, that might be a place to go into because not that many people know they're in town yet.
Is London House still one of the prime rooftops in Chicago right now? I know that was the place to go the past couple of years.
Yeah, because it's tiered, has a tremendous view. Some people make jokes about, because of the differences in floors, that they literally look down on the patio at Trump Tower because they're up a little higher. It's very posh.
Very nice. Any restaurant favorites right now, new restaurants, Phil, that you've enjoyed? Do you want to...
Funny thing is, I just went back to Le Nomade, a place that's not new, but I haven't been in so long, and had a really nice meal there. I've also been tagging along to places. There's a new place. Entente is not a new restaurant, but they just moved into the downtown area from up on North Lakeview, and that looks promising. There's a new restaurant called Jung. It's out on Chicago Avenue, right around 1400 West. It's Korean. It's Korean/American fine dining and really cool food. The couple who were there, who operate the place, had a restaurant in Westmont called Hanbun, and it was one of those little cool places you had to know about because they served lunch every day, but dinner one weekend a month, and you had to reserve forever in advance to get in there. I've also had, I'm looking forward to Galit, which just opened. It's an Israeli and Middle Eastern themed restaurant in the Nepal neighborhood. And Ricardo Michi, who has the wonderful trattoria on Clark Street, just opened Ricardo Osteria on Lake Street. So he's kind of joining that whole Lake Fulton Randolph
right.
restaurant, Dent Black Star kind of thing they have there.
Yeah, conglomeration of restaurants all
yeah,
in
yeah, that's the word I want.
One area. I know what you mean. I mean, it's, you don't know where to turn over there. There's so many.
Right.
I just wanted to also quickly ask you what your thoughts were about the James Beard Award nominations that came out for the Great Lakes region, for the basically the Midwestern area. Chicago mm-hmm. restaurants dominated the nominations for that.
Yeah, they did. They did to the dismay of the other cities in the Great Lakes region, such as Detroit and Indianapolis and Cincinnati and Cleveland, who think yeah. they can't catch a break as long as Chicago is bigfooting everybody. I have been, when I was on the committee, and I'm not anymore, I used to argue that Chicago probably ought to be its own region to give those other areas a bit more of a chance.
Yeah, of course.
And I think so. I'm at the other hand, I'm very happy for the Chicago winners. I didn't see a single name in there that made me scratch my head and think, why is she, he, you know, what are they doing there? It's a strong list. I have my fingers crossed for Kevin Bame and Rob Katz to win Restaurateur for the first time, because they've been nominated about six times in a row, and I'm hoping this is their lucky year. And it'll be a lot of fun, and we'll know the answers in almost exactly a month. Yeah, 4 weeks. The gala will be here in Chicago on May 6th.
Yeah, we'll look forward to that's always a fun night, and great that they've sort of made Chicago their home for the past several years.
Yes,
the Academy Awards of the culinary world.
Absolutely,
Phil. Do you have your Easter brunch picks online someplace people can take a look at?
We have one online. You can find it at chicagotribune.com/dining. Don't look for it under my name, because one of my colleagues assembled this list. But yes, you can find this thing. You find these online, and these and many more, actually.
All right, chicagotribune.com/dining. Always enjoy reading and also talking with Phil Vitale, Chicago Tribune's dining critic. Phil, have a great day today. Thank you so much.
Thanks.